Continuing our summer series on the Psalms, Psalm 33. The theme is praising and thanking and singing to the Lord. If we know that God is real, is alive, intelligent, great, good, if we know how much He has done, is doing, and will do for us, we will sing to and praise and thank Him a lot. It's fitting, it's appropriate for the creature to worship the Creator in these ways through praise and thanks and song. And it's beneficial for the creature. Psalm 33 teaches us the importance of singing to, praising, and thanking the Lord, and how and why to worship Him in these ways. Verse 1, let the righteous sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the upright. Word we don't use much, upright, means straight, straight ones. It's fitting for the straight ones to praise Him. Thank the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for Him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. It's fitting for the straight ones to praise Him. It's appropriate, right, fitting. What is praise? Praise is proclaiming who God is and proclaiming the good things He has done, is doing, and will do. Why is it fitting for the upright, which means the straight ones, who are the opposite of the ones who are crooked, twisted, perverted, corrupted? Why is it fitting for the straightest, those who are characterized by being straight? Why is it fitting for the righteous, who are the opposite of the wrongeous? There is an English word, wrongeous. I looked it up. It is the opposite of righteous. It's the wrongeous. Why is it fitting for those who are in a right relationship with the Lord and committed to doing the right things, the righteous? Why is it fitting for them to praise and thank the Lord and make music and sing to Him? Because this great Lord is worthy of their songs and praise and thanks, because He's so good, so great, so perfect, so wise, so loving, so merciful, so gracious to them. Because He has done, is doing, will do so many good things for them. Why do the righteous and the straitest have joy? Not because of their circumstances, which can change, which can be up or down, good or bad, here or there, but because they know they are saved, redeemed, forgiven, right with the living God, because they know they're in a right relationship with the gracious and loving God that will last forever. And the righteous and the straitest sing and praise and thank the Lord for other reasons. For the word of the Lord is upright. There's that word again, upright, straight. And we can trust everything He does. He loves whatever is right and just. God is real. He is alive, living, intelligent. He can speak. He's able to communicate with words. If we can use words, the one who is infinitely greater than us, the one who gave us the ability to speak and use words, He can speak. He can communicate with words. In fact, He can do so much better than we can. However, unlike the words of human beings, human beings, which are so often twisted and full of half-truths and lies and deception and errors. The word of the Lord is upright. It is straight. It is never twisted at all. Unlike unrighteous people who frequently love what is wrong and unjust, the Lord loves what is just and what is right. He does not love anything that is wrong or unjust. Some people will say the right things, but then they won't follow through and do the right things. Therefore, even when they say the right things, we can't trust what they say. Not so with this great God. He says the right things, and then he always follows through and does everything he says. Therefore, we can trust everything he says and everything he does. The word of the Lord is upright, straight. We can trust everything he does. And that's why we can praise him and thank him and sing to him with joy. And the righteous and the straitest sing to and praise and thank him because the love of the Lord fills the earth. Many people have little love, sometimes even no love for others. Not so this great Lord. His love fills the earth. That's a lot of love. He has a lot of love for human beings. He loves people everywhere on this planet. Now, that does not mean he is pleased with everyone. It doesn't mean that he accepts everyone. He welcomes everyone. It means that he loves them. Just as a parent loves a child who is rebellious, still loves that rebellious child, hoping the child will end his rebellious ways and then be what he should be. God's love fills the earth. That means we cannot avoid his love. It's everywhere. It's directed to everyone. If we can't avoid his love, then why not embrace his love? Why not end our rebellion against him and love him back by turning to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, loving God by obeying him and serving him the way we should? His love fills the earth. How does God love us? He loves us by creating us in his image with amazing abilities. He loves us by providing for all of our needs, our physical needs, our mental and emotional needs, our educational needs, our relationship needs, our spiritual needs. His greatest demonstration of his love for us: God so loved humanity that he sent his Son to live among us and suffer and die and be resurrected so that everyone who has faith in Yeshua and then proves, demonstrates he has faith in Yeshua by being faithful to Yeshua will not perish but have eternal life. The greatest demonstration of God's love for us. Why do the righteous, not the wrongeous, the straitous, not the twisted ones, praise and sing to and thank the Lord? Because of his amazing wisdom and power, which so greatly benefits us. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. What's the greatest thing you ever made? Greatest thing you ever made? A snowman? Sandcastle? Maybe you built a garage? A house? I I know someone who built an airplane. However, I'm sure that if you built any of these things, you didn't build it by saying, house, come into being. I'm sure it took a lot more than words for you to build that house. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of time and thought and effort. Often I speak and nothing happens. I say, please come to the gathering of our little Shema community on time. It honors the Lord and those who work hard to prepare the worship service so that it will be honoring to God and beautiful and build us up in our most holy faith. Come on time. Come to the Onegs. We eat once a month together to get to know each other. Don't schedule something else instead during that time. When the community eats together, you eat with us. I speak, and very little happens. Not so with this great Lord. When he speaks, the greatest, most amazing things always happen. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. The heavens were created. The heavens include the earth's atmosphere, which is primarily made of nitrogen, oxygen, argon, with some water and other gases mixed in. It extends approximately 60 miles up. The atmosphere is big. The heavens also include the sun, the moon, the comets, the meteors, and the stars. How many stars? The latest estimate is that there are 100 billion galaxies, maybe 200 billion, maybe even a lot more than that. And the average galaxy has 100 billion stars. 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars, that's a lot of stars. More stars than grains of sand in all the world's beaches and deserts. The sun, moon, planet, stars, galaxies are great and powerful. So the one who made them must be greater and more powerful. The sun, moon, stars, planets, galaxies reveal order, design, math, physics, chemistry. Therefore, the one who made them must be a great designer, mathematician, physicist, chemist. The sun, moon, planets, stars, and galaxies are beautiful and glorious. Therefore, the one who made them must appreciate beauty. He must be a very great artist. He himself must be glorious. We sing to, praise, and thank the Lord for making the heavens and everything in them and giving us the ability to experience them, marvel at them. And we worship the Lord for making the seas and the oceans. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Water is a truly amazing substance. Not only did God make that amazing substance, he didn't make a little of it. He made a lot of it. I live on half an acre. That's plenty of area for me to live on, especially when I'm mowing the lawn. Half an acre. 70% of the world's surface is covered by seas and oceans. That's approximately 139 million square miles. I live on half an acre. How many acres are in a square mile? 640 acres in a square mile. 640 acres times 139 million square miles is 88,960,000,000 acres. Let's call it 89 billion acres. That's a lot of acres. That's a lot of surface area of water. The average depth of the oceans is 12,000 feet. The oceans contain 300 million cubic miles of water. That's a lot of water. And all that water is so useful, so beneficial for us. Water from the seas and the oceans evaporate and bring fresh water to water the land and nourish all the plants and animals. The seas and oceans provide vast amounts of plants and fish and animals for us to eat. The seas and oceans make transportation around the world easy and inexpensive. Viewing, swimming in, and boating on the seas and oceans give us tremendous pleasure. We worship God for making the great seas and oceans. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Why do the righteous, not the wrongous, the straitous, not the twisted, perverted, corrupt, praise and sing to and thank the Lord? Because of his wisdom and power which created this planet at his command. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. When Ari and Aliza were kids, I would speak to them. Do your homework. Clean your room. Help your mother wash the dishes. And you know what? There were many, many times when absolutely nothing happened. Not so with Adonai. When he speaks, the most amazing things always happen. When he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. This planet is so amazing, so big, so complex, so beautiful, so well designed for people to live in. It's millions of species of plants and animals which interact with each other and with their various environments in complex ways reveal a great and powerful person at work. The proper response to the one who spoke and the world began, acknowledgement of his reality, along with fear, respect, awe, obedience, service, love. Why do the ones who are right and straight praise, sing to, and thank the Lord? Because the Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. The Lord has plans. Good plans. Plans to save a chosen remnant of human beings, to transform them into his eternal companions, sons and daughters and friends. How amazing is that? He has plans to use the Jewish people to fulfill his plans. He has plans to use Messiah's community to fulfill his plans. We praise and thank the Lord and sing to him because he frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. And it's good that he frustrates the plans and schemes of the nations because their plans and their schemes are bad. Their plans are to continue in rebellion against God, to oppose God, to serve false gods and idols of their own making, to suppress the truth, to disobey the gospel, to persecute and try to destroy the Jewish people and Messiah's community from time to time. We sing to and praise and thank the Lord because he thwarts the evil plans of the nations and because his good plans, his blessed plans, his plans to save a remnant of human beings and transform them into his glorious and eternal sons and daughters will be fulfilled. Why do the righteous, not the wrongous, the straitous, not the twisted ones, praise, sing to, and thank the Lord? Because of his choice to make people into a nation that belongs to him. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. When this psalm was written, Israel was the only nation whose God was the Lord. Israel belonged to God in a unique way. However, with the arrival of the Messiah, there is a new nation whose God is the Lord. That nation is Messiah's community. It's made up of Messianic Jews and Christians, chosen by God before the universe was made, chosen to know him and love him and be with him forever. Knowing that you are part of that special nation whose God is the Lord should give you joy, a lot of joy, a constant joy, a continual joy, in spite of your circumstances, which may be up or down here or there. Why do the righteous and the straight ones praise, sing to, and thank the Lord? Because from his place in heaven, he sees all, he knows all, and he loves, favors, protects, and saves those who belong to him, and he opposes, thwarts, and defeats those who are against him, even if they are very powerful. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. So the obvious conclusion is to fear, respect, reverence this great, high, heavenly, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, loving, and righteous God. To believe in him, trust him, rely on him and his love. Do not trust in your own strength, your own intelligence, your own abilities, your own resources. Do not trust in powerful leaders and their armies and navies and air forces. If the great and mighty God of heaven wants their military might to fail, it will fail. If the Lord of heaven's armies wants them to be defeated, they will be defeated. Knowing the Lord, believing in him, trusting in him, hoping in him, results in divine protection that we can count on. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Knowing him, believing in him, trusting him, hoping him in him results in joy. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Knowing him, believing in him, trusting in him, hoping in him results in divine love. And God's love motivates him to do the most for us, the best for us. Let your love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. So, why do we sing to, praise, and thank the Lord? I'll summarize. Because it's fitting for the righteous and the straight ones, the straitest, to praise and thank him for doing so much for them. Because his word is true, and we can trust everything he says and does. Because he loves what is just and good. Because his love fills the earth. Because he merely spoke, and the heavens, the stars, the earth, and the oceans were created. Because he frustrates the rebellious, wicked plans of the nations, but his wonderful plans to save and transform a chosen remnant of humanity will surely take place. Because he defeats those who oppose him and supports and protects those who trust him and love him. How do we sing to and praise and thank the Lord? With words. The better we know him and what he has done, is doing, and will do, the better our words and praise and thanks and songs will be. We praise and thank him and sing to him with songs, music, and instruments. We sing to him on our own when we're by ourselves, out taking a little walk. Think of some of the good songs we sing at Shmon. We sing to the Lord by ourselves. And we sing to him when we gather as a community. But Rabbi Lauren, I don't like praying out loud in front of others. I don't like thanking and praising the Lord in front of others. And I certainly don't like singing to the Lord with others around. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm like Rabbi Jerry, I cannot carry a tune. Even my humming is off. Too bad. You sing to and praise and thank the Lord anyway. You will learn to like it. And even if you never learn to like it, it's still the right thing for you to do. It's your duty. It's your responsibility as a creature to the great Creator. And you know, that's my story. When I was a new believer, I didn't like singing to the Lord. It was strange, weird, made me feel uncomfortable, and I couldn't sing well. However, over time, I learned to sing better and came to enjoy praising and thanking and singing to the Lord with others. And the same thing will probably happen to you. And by the way, Rabbi Jerry is working on his singing. And I am sure he is going to get better. How do we sing to and praise and thank the Lord? With skill. We play skillfully. The worship team and our audio-visual team put a lot of time and thought and effort into making our songs and praise and thanks skillful and beautiful. Your responsibility is to get here on time with an attitude to join us in singing to and praising and thanking the Lord. We sing to the Lord with a new song. The old songs are good. But we need a new song. A new song is more than just a new song. A new song means a fresh experience with the living God that results in thanks and praise and song. Our relationship to God needs to be kept fresh and new, just like a couple who have been married for years need to work at keeping their relationship fresh and new. How do we do that? We think about things to do to keep our relationship with God fresh and new, and we work at it. How do we worship the Lord? With joy. That means that even if everything else in our lives are terrible, knowing that we are loved by God, accepted by Him, we will live forever with Him, that should give us joy. Joy that enables us to praise and thank and make music to the Lord. Let the righteous sing for joy to the Lord. It's fitting for the straight ones to praise Him. Thank the Lord with melodies. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Lord, help this to be us, each one of us. Amen.